shard meant for these children. Why? Because Paul says here in Colossians 3 that Christ is your life. Christ is your life. Christ has set you free from your sin and misery. Christ has delivered you from the tyranny of the devil. And in Christ, you have been raised to a new life. And Paul says that when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. For Paul, Christ is everything. And since Christ is everything, Paul tells us that we need to have our minds focused on the things that are above, because that's where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. And thinking about that and reflecting on that frames the way that we live our lives now. That's what we find in verses 5 to 9 of Colossians 3. Paul commands the Colossians and us to kill, to put to death, to mortify all the desires of the old man: immorality, impurity, covetousness, idolatry, slander, malice, and lying, because in Christ we have died to sin. But it doesn't stop there. Because then Paul tells the Colossians and us in verses 10 to 16 to put on the new man and embrace a life of mercy, a life of love, compassion, forgiveness, and harmony. A life full of devotion to God's word. A life full of pure and proper worship. A life marked by thankfulness to God. Why? Because we have been raised with Christ. And so for Paul, the Christian life encompasses everything because Christ is everything. Christ impacts every sphere of life, no stone unturned, all inclusive. Christ is your life, and he impacts and affects every single thing that we do. And to emphasize that even more, Paul summarizes this entire section with one sentence. Verse 17. And this verse is going to be our focus this morning. So as we look at Colossians 3:17, we do so with this theme: our God commands us to do everything in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. There are really two key parts to this verse, and those two parts are the things that I want to focus on this morning. First, it's the all-inclusive nature of the Christian life. And second, the all-important attitude of thankfulness. And so first, we see the all-inclusive nature of the Christian life. Look at the first part of verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This is a common phrase, one that we hear quite often. But one of the commentators that I looked at this past week as I was preparing for this says this: the phrase "in the name of the Lord" takes on a wide variety of nuances or meanings, but often the focus is on the nature and character of the Lord. And this commentator goes on to say that to do all things in the name of Jesus then does not simply mean to utter Jesus' name, but to act always in concern with the nature and character of our Lord. So, since we have been raised with Christ and are in union with Christ, as Paul says at the start of Colossians 3, all of what we do must be lived out with Jesus constantly in our minds. And this goes back to that children's book, the hockey sweater. Those kids were obsessed with Maurice Richard and were constantly thinking about him. But while they thought about him in a sinful and idolatrous way, we need to think about Jesus in a holy, obedient, and reverent way. This is what Paul is talking about when he commands us to put away the desires of the flesh, to put to death the desires of the flesh, and to mortify the old man. If you look at the list of sins that Paul gives in verses 5 to 9, they're all selfishly motivated, aren't they? Sexual immorality, impurity, and passions are all about self-gratification. Evil desire and covetousness are all about getting what you want. Anger and wrath are all about vengeance and getting even. And malice and slander are all about making yourself look better to other people by putting other people down. The works of the old man, the sinful nature, are all focused internally. They're all focused on the self. But we, as Christians, as those raised with Christ, are to approach things differently. We recognize, we believe, and we confess that we were bought and purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That means that we're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong body and soul to Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Master. Jesus is everything. He is everything. So whatever we do needs to be done with Jesus in mind. It needs to focus on the character and nature of Christ. It needs to be done with our hearts oriented and focused on Him. That's part of the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification in us, making us more and more like Christ, conforming us more and more to the image of God's Son. We live for Christ. We don't live to satisfy and gratify the desires of our own flesh. We live for Christ. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand, because Christ is your life. Christ is everything. And so your life needs to be focused on Him. But how much of our life needs to be focused on Christ? Most of it? More than half? Just some of it? Well, we've touched on it a little bit already, but Paul gives the answer to that question in the first part of this verse. Simply put, it's everything. It's everything. And Paul makes that very clear because he says the same thing three different ways to emphasize his point. And his point here is that Christ should impact every single thing that we do. First, Paul says, whatever you do, whatever you do. Now, this has been smoothed over in our English Bibles because the Greek is actually quite choppy. But the Greek emphasizes the totality of what we do. Literally, Paul says, and everything which, what, if you might do. Everything which, what, if you might do. And it's that word everything that is so important. It's the little Greek word pan, which is often placed at the start of some of our English words. Pan-American involves all the countries of North and South America. Panoramic is a photo of the entire scenery that the eye can see. A pandemic is a disease that impacts every country on earth. Pan. That's the word that Paul uses. Everything. No exceptions. Everything. Second way that Paul emphasizes his point that the Christian life is all-encompassing is found in that little phrase in the middle, in word or deed. Now, this doesn't just mean the things that we say and the things that we do. No, this is actually a poetic device. The opposite ends of something are used to refer to the whole thing. Now, we see this a lot in Scripture. Think about the phrase day and night. It simply means all the time. Or think about how God is described as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. If God is the Alpha and the Omega, that means that He is everything, that He is all in all. So when Paul uses this phrase in word or deed, this refers to everything we think, everything we say, everything we desire, and everything that we do. Nothing is exempt from this list. In word or deed, again, it means everything. And then finally, Paul uses another word to emphasize the all-inclusive nature of the Christian life. He uses the word panta, which simply means all. It's actually the same root word as the word pan that we saw earlier. Quite simply, it too means everything. Everything from the worship you bring on Sunday to putting your socks on in the morning is impacted by the fact that you've been raised with Christ. Everything from how you speak to your family to how you speak to the Lord in prayer is done with Jesus in mind. Everything from what you do on Friday night to what you do on Sundays between services should be done while thinking about the things above where Christ is. So Paul says the same thing three different ways to emphasize the fact that everything that we do is influenced, impacted, and affected by what Jesus has done for us. There isn't a single aspect of our lives that is left untouched by the good news of the gospel. And so what that means is that the Christian faith is an active faith. It isn't just a bunch of doctrines that are good to know. It isn't just a list of catechism questions and answers that you should have memorized and your catechism teachers want you to have memorized. It isn't just part of our identity. No, Christ impacts everything. No stone unturned. Christ is your life. And so our lives should be inundated with love for Christ. They should be saturated with an appreciation for the beauty and the kindness of the Savior. And they should be overflowing with a desire to live for Christ in every single aspect of our lives. The Christian faith is an active faith because we as Christians recognize that Christ is everything. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus. That's the all-inclusive nature of the Christian life. It covers everything. But in this verse, in Colossians 3:17, we also see, secondly, the all-important attitude of thankfulness. Paul continues in Colossians 3:17, and he says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, if you scan through Colossians quickly, you realize quite quickly that this letter, and especially chapter 3, is full of commands to be thankful. As we heard yesterday morning, it's very important to be thankful. But being thankful is perhaps one of the most difficult things to do in the Christian life. Thankfulness is tricky. And thankfulness is tricky for two reasons. First, thankfulness, real, genuine gratitude, comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. But often our obedience to God, which should be rooted in heartfelt gratitude for all that He has done for us, often our obedience gets reduced to mere duty. It becomes something that we have to do, rather than something we actually want to do. Now, of course, we do need to do good things. We do need to be thankful. But genuine gratitude needs to come from our hearts. It needs to become something that we delight in doing. And this makes Paul's command to be thankful a difficult thing to carry out. So how do we heed this command? Well, for starters, we need to go back to what Paul said earlier. We need to be focused on the things above, and we need to commit ourselves to doing everything with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in mind. Because the more we come to understand the gospel, the more we come to see the kindness, the mercy, and the love of the Savior, and the more we see the kindness of the Savior, the more our hearts are affected by His kindness. The second thing we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray for God by His Holy Spirit to make us more and more thankful and grateful. So if we're going to be thankful, and if our thankfulness is truly going to come from our hearts, then we need to pray and we need to know the depths of the gospel and the love, goodness, compassion, and kindness of the Savior. But the second thing that makes thankfulness tricky is the fact that thankfulness implies that there's someone else who is the object of our gratitude. Think about it. Whenever you say thank you, you're thanking someone. Thankfulness never exists without someone to receive it. It's always directed to somebody else. And that's what makes this holiday, a holiday that I genuinely love, so interesting to me. Because many of us are going to sit around a feast this afternoon. And the classic question at this feast is, what are you thankful for this year? And many of us will answer that question with things like family, things like friends, a good church, a job that I like, or a job that pays well. I'm thankful I sustained my candidacy exam last week. These are obviously good things to be thankful for. But the interesting thing is that many unbelievers and non-Christians are going to sit around their feast this afternoon as well, and they're going to be asking the same question and giving very similar answers. But my question is this: who are they thankful to? If they deny God and have no faith in Him, to whom are they expressing their gratitude? What makes our Thanksgiving celebrations different? Well, notice what Paul says in verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father. Because ultimately, it's God and God alone who is to be the object of our thankfulness, gratitude, and praise. Why? Simply because of who He is and what He's done for us in Jesus Christ. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He upholds everything. He directs everything, and He watches over everything. As James says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And Paul says that all things work together for our good. But God is also the one who provided the Savior for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you were going to be truly thankful, who are you expressing your thankfulness to? Because there's only one who is to be the supreme object of our affections, the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has become our God and Father because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you understand that your thanksgiving is to be ultimately directed toward God and nobody else, that actually helps you in your Christian walk. A walk that should be impacted in every area by Christ Jesus. As one commentator says, thankfulness for what God has accomplished for us in Christ is an obvious and powerful stimulus to live under His Lordship. Thankfulness for what God has accomplished for us in Christ is an obvious and powerful stimulus to live under His Lordship. In other words, a grateful heart, a heart that is focused on thanking God for who He is and all that He's done for us in Jesus Christ, is a wonderful help for thinking about the things above and doing everything in the name of Jesus. And so thankfulness is incredibly important. On the one hand, being thankful to God and having a heart that overflows with gratitude will help us see the kindness and the love of the Savior. But beautifully, on the other hand, focusing on the love and kindness of the Savior and the fact that He is our life helps us be more thankful. And so with thankfulness, there's a cycle at play. The more thankful we become, the more we see the love of the Savior. And the more we see the love of the Savior, the more thankful we become. There's still more that we can say about Colossians 3:17 and the all-important attitude of thanksgiving. That's because the Apostle Paul ends this verse with a tiny little phrase. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That is, through Christ. And this is a very important thing. This little phrase that Paul uses here emphasizes something incredibly special. We give thanks to God the Father through Christ because Christ is the one who has opened the way for us to approach the Father. So Christ is the basis for our thanksgiving, yes. We give thanks to God because Christ died for our sins, but Christ is also the means through which we express that thanksgiving to God the Father. Because remember our sin. And remember how our sin destroyed and ruined the relationship that we had with God. Because of our fall into sin, access to God was barred and cut off. There was a massive chasm between God and us. And because of that, left to ourselves, we could not approach our God. In order to be brought back into fellowship with God, atonement for our sin needed to be paid. That's what the sacrificial system in the Old Testament was all about. Those sacrifices were offered as payment for the sins of the people. But we know, as the author of Hebrews tells us, those sacrifices were just shadows and types of what was to come. Those sacrifices in and of themselves couldn't actually atone for sin. But those sacrifices did point ahead to the mediator and deliverer that God had provided. And this is so important because we needed that mediator in order to be brought back into fellowship with God and be saved. We needed someone to stand in our place, to pay the penalty for our sin, and to reconcile God to us and us to God. We needed a Savior. And thankfully, that's exactly who Jesus is. And remember that when Jesus breathed his last on that cross, the curtain in the temple, the curtain that divided the holy place from the most holy place, was torn from top to bottom. This showed that the separation between God and man was removed because of the atoning death of Christ. With Christ's death as payment for our sin, access to Almighty God was restored. That's why the author of Hebrews can say that because of Jesus' blood, we have access to the Father through Christ. What's more, the author goes on to say that we can actually come to the throne of God with confidence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, we need to do that through Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus has opened the way for us to have access to God the Father. It is through Christ that we come to God with thanksgiving. This is why Paul says that Christ is our life. Because by his atoning death, he removed that dividing wall of hostility. Access to God the Father has been granted. And only Jesus' blood and atoning sacrifice could do that. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the only place where true life is found. And that is reason for thanksgiving. When the kindness, compassion, and love of the Savior really starts to hit you, then thankfulness to God is kindled in your heart and in your soul. Christ has bought you to be his very own. Christ has removed the separation that existed between God and us. Christ has brought us into fellowship with God once again. Christ is your life. Christ is everything. And that leaves us with a really important question that I've heard Pastor John ask before. What have you done with Christ? What have you done with Christ? Is Christ everything to you? Is Christ your focus in everything? Is everything that you do done with Christ in mind? Is everything that you do done with thanksgiving to God through Christ? What have you done with Christ? Who is Christ to you? Reflect on that this Thanksgiving. Think about what Christ has done for you. Think about how you can serve him. Think about how you can thank God through him. Because Christ is everything. And Christ doesn't just want some of who you are, a percentage of your life. No, Christ wants all of who you are. And that's a tall order. But it's a process. But remember, in that process, Christ is your life. He's the one who sustains you by his word and spirit. So may Christ, by the Holy Spirit, bless you and help you to be faithful, help you to be thankful, and more devoted to him in everything that you do and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray together. Great God and merciful Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and for the gift of your Son. Father, we pray that you help us, knowing our own sinfulness that still impacts our hearts and our lives, knowing the temptations that the devil still throws at us. Father, help us by your word and spirit to remain focused on the things above, where Christ is, where our Savior is, where the word of life is, where the bread of life is, sitting at your right hand. We thank you that he is interceding for us, that he is our mediator, that he is the guarantee that one day we will have our own flesh in heaven. Father, help us focus on the things above. Help us look to you in all things, whatever we do, in word or deed. May we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to you through him. Bless us in this, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.